worship and honor you, the Most High God, the only true God, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, the covenant-keeping God, faithful to 1,000 generations, and indeed faithful today in our generation. We thank you for inhabiting the praises and the worship of your people, fulfilling your word as you always do. Lord, as we go into your word now, we ask the same tangible presence go with us. Come and open the word and open our understanding. Open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law. We pray for fresh unction and anointing, firstly upon my heart and my lips, so I will speak as I should indeed as an oracle of God. Secondly, upon the ears and the hearts of all who will hear me, those who are physically present as well as those who are hearing me and will hear me remotely, electronically, that your word will flow freely, Father, from you through me to your people to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own, in particular to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray that as I speak, the power of the Holy Spirit be released in great as well as in sufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Yes, power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, power that will free men so that they will become doers of the things they hear and are hearers only. I also pray for mercy to be faithful, that I will deliver the word with precision, redeem the time, say only what you want me to say, bringing out the treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement, receiving all the blessings I mentioned in that prayer in their individual lives, all individually agreed and said,
Amen.
Today I'm going to continue our teaching this message on the humility and the ability of the mind of Christ. I'm not sure if I'll be able to finish it today. If I don't, I'll stop where appropriate as the Spirit leads me, and we'll take it on next week because it's such a deep topic. We spent two Sundays already on the humility of the mind of Christ. And we said that that's the prerequisite into accessing the ability of the mind of Christ. There is a cycle I've written here, I think I did in one of my weekly Ramers. And the cycle is as thus. Actually, I should have told them to draw it, but, you know, maybe next week I'll do that. You know, it's humility, grace, life, light, and wisdom. Everybody say humility, grace, life, light, and wisdom. It's sequential. You can't start at light. You start at humility. From humility, you get grace. Grace will bring life. Life will bring light. Light will bring wisdom. That's the way it works. And, you know, in our last lesson, I'm not going to go back there because of time, we saw that your will is like the door between your mind and your emotions and your spirit, the rest of your inner man. Your spirit has two compartments. It's one building, it's one body, but it has two parts. The soul, where your brain is the clothing of your soul, that's up here. Then the rest of your inner man is your spirit. And what happens is that when you get born again, the life of God and the light of God is in your spirit. For it to go up to your conscious mind, it first of all gets into your subconscious mind, with the Bible calls, you know, your conscience, and that's where the Holy Spirit bears witness. He begins, as it were, to knock, but he doesn't force you. He'll just beep you. If you agree, that's where humility is, and you open the door, then the light that is in the inner man, in the spirit, will now flow through that door, through that opening, into the conscious mind. Then you now begin to know things consciously and understand them, you know. From there, it will flow into your emotions and begin to temper all your emotions with the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The tragedy of the church in these last 2,000 years is that majority of the church have not understood the difference between spirit, soul, and body. And because they don't have that understanding, they make a lot of assumptions, you know, and there are a lot of presumptuousness in the church. You have to have the mind of Christ. Well, that's true. That's potential, you see. You have the better rendering, the spirit of that scripture is this. You have ability to the mind of Christ. You have access to the mind of Christ. But whether you access it or not is a completely different question. You have access to it. If you're born again, you know, but to what degree are you accessing it depends on the degree of the humility of your mind. And we spent a long time there, you know, things like stubbornness, rebellion, pride. And these are the real silent killers. You know, fornication and adultery will kill you. That's obvious. Most people know that. You know, if you sin against your body, it will kill you. But pride, stubbornness, and rebellion will kill you just as much as adultery and fornication. The difference between adultery and fornication and pride and rebellion is that those ones, that they are silent killers. They're always working on the inside, and most people don't know. You know, it's like high blood pressure. Somebody who has high blood pressure can be walking around and they can be fine, you know, and everything just looking fine. And you if you look at them, they're not sitting down in their bed. They're not weak. They're not something. And then all of a sudden, the person just faints and bursts a blood vessel inside the brain, and they die. You know, these horrible sins, those three in particular, pride, rebellion, stubbornness, unforgiveness, they are silent killers because they're not as obvious. If somebody is committing adultery and fornication, we know he's going to die. But if somebody is proud, if it's in the heart, you won't know. And it'll be in there. And that's why it's not negotiable. You've got to deal with that. And the Bible tells us all of this. And this is where we left off in our last lesson. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. Beautiful scripture given to us by the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul. And verses 17 and 18. He said, I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you walk not as other Gentiles. This is people who don't know God, you know, people in the world generally, in the vanity. The word vanity there, you know, means unproductiveness. And truly, the human mind is not productive to the degree it should be. When you consider, and there's a wonderful fact, that man was made in the image and the likeness of God. But that divine potential has been greatly, you know, reduced because of sin. Man has in his brain 100 billion neurons. Neurons are these small things inside our brain where that fire electrical signals that cause us to remember things, that cause us to be able to, you know, process information. We can take information in, we can process it, we can apply it, you know. And the scientists tell us that, you know, people we call geniuses, like Albert Einstein and those kind of people, they only use about 12%, 15%. 85% is lying dormant. Occasionally, we see this potential in what we call autistic savants. These are people who have autism, but parts of their brains have been fired up. And you find them expressing or exercising, you know, or demonstrating is a better word, you know, incredible photographic memory, incredible language learning abilities, incredible artistic abilities, incredible mathematical abilities, incredible musical abilities. These are not, it's all over the internet. Because of time, I don't want to turn there, you know. There's one particular, I think it was Brother Goke in the choir who sent it to me. You know, some kid in England, you know, they say he's the smartest kid on the planet. He can do so many things. but he's autistic. You see, he's autistic, but he can do all kinds of things. I don't. But all these things, there, and not him alone. It's documented. You know, some of them will listen to a piece of classical music, like Beethoven or Mozart or Chopin or, you know, Handel, you know, or Vivaldi or one of these great complicated musical piece. Hear it once and they will reproduce it and play it flawlessly. Flawlessly. It is the brain. The brain can receive that information, store it, then reproduce it and play it back through his hands. Flawlessly. That's not, you know, this is not pie in the sky. This gives us a peek. It gives us an insight into the ability that is available in Christ, because it's the mind of God. It's the mind of Christ. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, we saw that in our last lesson. He says, let's turn there again, just for emphasis. He says, but you have the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. It's just like by the stripes of Jesus, you are healed, you know. But so many Christians are sick, you know, and die of sickness. But the Bible says, by the stripes of Jesus, you are healed. So it's the same way the Bible says, but you have the mind of Christ. You have it, but you got to access it. And you access it through this exercise of humility. We went through all of that last week. Today, I just want to begin to focus on how to access the mind of Christ and what it makes available. I've mentioned it to an extent, but I want to give you scripture. You know, this is one of the most important things to God. See, God is a jealous God. When we say jealous, not in a negative kind of sense, but he's jealous for his glory. For instance, when David went to confront Goliath, God was very pleased because the other Israelites made God look like a weak God. And the Philistine came out and said, you know, send a man to me. If you can defeat him, you know, if he defeats me, then our people will be subject to you. If I defeat him, then, you know, you people will be subject to her. Because they were all afraid, because they didn't know God. But thank God there was a small shepherd boy, you know, called David, who just, he wasn't even too young, so he must have been about 17 or 18, because you don't go into the army until you are 20, you know. So he was even too young to be in the army. So his dad just sent him to the war front to take some food and supplies for his senior brothers. Now he heard what Goliath said. And he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that would defy the armies of the God of Israel? He said, thy servant will go out and I will fight him and I will cut his head off. And they said, no, you're just a boy. He said, no. He said, when I was looking after the sheep, I killed a lion, I killed a bear, and that same God would deliver this Philistine to me. And he said, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. God is the same thing here. The smartest people on the planet are Christians. But sadly, it doesn't show. Even in many of our fields of our endeavor, many unbelievers do better than us. They're not smarter than us. The problem with us is that we're not accessing the ability of the mind of Christ to the degree we should. Some of us are okay, you know, good, average, some of us even good, you know, but we're nowhere near where God wants us to be. And this is a challenge. Hence this message. But like I said, the foundation is humility. And that's really the reason why we have not been able to access this mind of Christ to the degree we should. Many of us are conceited. We think of ourselves, as in the scriptures, more highly than we ought. Our degree of humility is not sufficient. Hence, the Apostle Peter tells us, he says, grow in grace. It's a code of saying grow in humility, because God gives grace to the humble. So if I want to grow in grace, I have to grow in humility. It means that humility is not static. And I use that illustration of exercising your will, you know, opening that door. If you keep doing it, and the as it were, the spring of your will is very well exercised. Anytime God knocks, you just open up completely. So you have to, many of us, the measure of opening is small. So the amount of light that is entering our mind is correspondingly small. But the more you exercise yourself in humility, fasting, you submit to the will of God when you don't feel like it, knowing the certainty of His judgment if you disobey, and the security of His mercy when you obey. You know, saying you are more meek and lowly in heart, taking a lower position, even when you know you're right. Even when you know you're right, you still take a lower position. Like Jesus, He said, let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ. Now, God wants us to access the wisdom of God to bring to naught the wisdom of the world. It's something that is very high in God's priorities right now and very much on His heart. Because, you see, I remember before I became a Christian, when we were in university, I used to look down on Christians. I had a friend who was a Christian, who was a very nice guy, but he was an exception and not the rule. And I thought Christians were lazy people who were using Christianity as a cop-out. They won't, you know, and they say they are praying and all of that. They won't, you know, and you find that, you know, most of them, they're not very, they were not very intellectually above. And a lot of people in the world used to look down. I used to, you know, until I got born again, and then I got to understand some of these things. And I understood that the problem was not the Christianity, the problem was the Christians. Christianity is fine. It's the Christians, and the picture that they paint of Christianity is such a dismal picture compared to the reality. Hence, the Bible tells us that it is the will of God now in this end time to show unto principalities and powers the manifold wisdom of God. God gave me this revelation when I was in Imperial College. I was just a young boy of 21. I wrote, it's on our website. I called it The Hope of Our Calling, something like that. You know, it was one of the things that inspired me to, you know, accept the call of God, even at great cost. You know, God told me, if you stay in England, you won't learn some things I want to teach you. And looking back now, I know I wouldn't have not learned that. I would have been okay, but I would not have learned, and probably I would have died prematurely. I'm almost certain I would have. That's for Olubi Johnson, you know, may not be for everybody else, you know. And in that message, I said that there is another area that God has been showing me. I wrote this when I was 21 years old. Said that the wisdom of God. And I said, I don't think the church has even tapped into this. The inspiration for some of that came from what I had heard and learned from E.W. Kenyon, particular. You know, that you know, the church has barely scratched the surface. You know, and God gave me this scripture, Ephesians chapter 3. Let's go there. Ephesians chapter 3. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And look at verse 10. I'll look at it in the King James, and maybe I'll look at it also in the Amplified Bible, or maybe one of the other translations. But look at it again. To the intent. I didn't hear you, folks. I didn't hear you. Now turn to your neighbor and say, God has an intention. See, he's a person who has purpose. To the intent. That means it has not happened yet. But this is where God is going. To the intent. It's an intention. It's what God wants to do. To the intent that when we get to heaven, that now in the nasty here and now, here in this world, in this mortal body, that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by God. Thank you. Might be made known by God. No. By the church. The manifold wisdom of God. I think what Papa Ralph told us many, many years ago, he said, God does not have an enemy because he has no equal. The enemy, Satan is not God's enemy, he's your own enemy. God and Satan are not on the same level. So he's not God's enemy, he's your own enemy. The person he's fighting is you, not God. He can't fight God. So God wants to use you to show to Satan the manifold wisdom of God. In recent times, in the last year or so, a revelation came to me when I was here. That's why you need to be coming for School of Perfection. Many things come out that I, not even my notes. I say, I begin to preach because I pray a lot in the Spirit. I pray for hours in the Spirit, you know, every day, not only on days I preach. And so when I come and preach, I many times I'm preaching and teaching the interpretation, the mysteries of God. And I said that there are two epicenters of knowledge. One was in the Garden of Eden. The second one came from Jesus Christ after the resurrection. Those are the two epicenters. Epimeus, that's like an earthquake. That's where all knowledge springs from. The original knowledge came from God. It was in the Garden of Eden. When Adam fell and the path to the tree of life was barricaded by the angels, the residual knowledge, because Adam lived, don't forget, Adam lived for 900 years. That's a long time. And many of the early patriarchs, like we said during the Bible study, lived, many of them, 900, 800. So that's a lot of time. So there was a lot of overlap. They had children. Then their children learned from them. A lot of things were passed down by oral tradition. A lot of knowledge was passed down. That is why you have a great volume of knowledge that comes from the eastern part of civilization. That's the Garden of Eden. Then you move east, you know, Babylon, then the Chinese, the Japanese, you know, they long before Jesus came, BC, they already had writings, they had knowledge. The other day I was watching on CNN, I just, you know, saw this. There's this pyramid in Egypt. This was just discovered a few weeks ago. They discovered that there was a corridor inside the pyramid. Till today, the way the pyramids were built without modern technology is still a marvel. They can't understand it. It's God. It's the wisdom that they got from God. But because the path to the tree of life had been barricaded, Satan corrupted that wisdom. That is why the wisdom of the ancients of the Far East, you know, the Chinese, the Arabians, you know, the Babylonians, you've heard of the, you know, mysteries of the world, the seven, wonders of the world, the hanging pillars of Babylon, and so on and so forth. You can Google some of these things. You'd be amazed. Even the, like I spoke about the pyramids, the knowledge of science, the knowledge of technology that they had back then. I was watching a documentary, I think Pastor Larry or somebody was with me then, you know, on television some time ago. And they said that the Babylonians actually recorded this. Babylon was one of the most advanced cities and civilizations of its time. They actually recorded what I'm about to tell you. They said that the wisdom that they got, they said heavenly beings used to come down to teach them. They're demons, principalities, powers, and they impart wisdom to their people. The knowledge of mathematics, the knowledge of astrology, you know, astronomy, then corrupted to become astrology, you know, the study of the stars and all of these things. These were arts and sciences that had been developed in the eastern civilizations from the epicenter of the Garden of Eden, but had become corrupted through the sin nature that was inside man. It is this that God is referring to in Ephesians chapter 3. He said that to the intent that now unto principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. In other words, God wants to show the superiority of the wisdom that he has given us in Christ to that which Satan has given to his people that has become corrupted. I shared with you some years ago teaching on this same topic. There's a particular mathematician in physics. You know, he was actually more of a mathematician than he was a physicist. You know, he's one of top, but he's an Indian. He's dead now. You know, he died young. Died when he was in his 20s or 30s, something like that. You know, but he was so gifted. He was so talented. He was discovered, you know, he would read books in algebra and all of that. He began to write theorems by himself. He didn't go to university, you know. And this was in the 1920s. He was a clerk in a post office or something in India. So he now wrote one of the professors in Cambridge and said, you know, he introduced himself. These are some of the theorems that I have got. You know, please, you know, I would like to come to, you know, to England to come and, you know, share and study and all that. The English professor was astounded. So how can... So they, to cut a long story short, they got some money together and were able to bring him to England. In 2 or 3 years in Cambridge, he outstripped all his professors. The professor, I think, was Hardy, if I remember rightly, you know, was saying that if I put... That, I've forgotten his name now, Rajamujan or something like that. I can't remember his name properly. You know, if I put him on a scale of 10, I'll put myself on a scale of 3. That's how good the guy was. Then they now asked him, how do you get all of these things? He said that in the night, in his dream, his God, you know, the Indians have gods many. You know, they have more gods than... There are billions of gods, millions of gods. Every Indian has about 3 gods to him. So by the time you can calculate, it's about 3 billion. I just said that, you know, jokingly. But seriously, you know, he said that this deity with 6 hands, has 3 hands on this side, will appear to him and he will give him all these mathematical formulas. It's a true story. You know? And so, that's where that wisdom came from. Now, what God wants to do is to show the superiority of the wisdom that he has made available in Christ unto these principalities and powers through the church. For that to happen, the church must, and this must happen before the rapture, must access the ability of the mind of Christ. Now, God, this is very important to God. For many reasons. Firstly, for his glory. Now look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians. Thank you, Jesus. Chapter 1. And look at, I believe it's verse 19. Yes. He says, this scripture is prophetic. It's not yet been fulfilled. It is being and will yet be more fulfilled. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? Then he says, after in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. Listen to this. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called. If you are called, give me a wave offering. If you believe you are called, you're born again. But unto them which are called, turn to your neighbor and say, he's talking to you. He's talking to me. Both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God, and everybody scream it. No, the church hasn't preached that. How many times do you hear pastors or anybody teaching about the wisdom of God? We hear about the power of God, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, and that's important in its place. But there is another aspect to the gospel. Christ, not only the power of God, the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God. Hallelujah. And it is an aspect that's what we are going to fulfill in order to close this age. And I'll tell you the reason why. It is with this wisdom of God that we are going to create great wealth and become the most powerful financial institution on the earth. It's not going to be somebody coming to give us money. What kind of money are they going to give us? We are going to create wealth that has never been seen. Greater than what has been seen in Solomon. Let's go to Solomon, First Kings chapter 4. And I'm going to read from verses 29 through 34. It is so important. And I want us to read it in detail. Because that's why these things were written. You know, the Bible says everything that was written was for our benefit. So whatever was written aforetime, you know, was for our learning. First Kings chapter 4. And look at verse 29. What I'm about to read is almost unbelievable. But it is true. Because the scripture cannot be broken. Then I'm going to blow your mind. And God gave Solomon. Turn to your neighbor and say, who gave him? Not the devil. Now, there were people in Solomon's time, we're going to see in a minute, who also had wisdom. But it was not God who gave them. You have to understand that Satan gives his people wisdom. That's why I explained to you what I just did. And I gave you those examples. Even that mathematician, you know, he was a great guy. I even read some of his mathematics. I'm not against, you know, because there are some things he said that were very, very, his mathematics is used in string theory. Top level, high level, multivariable, multidimensional, high dimensional mathematics. I said, what is this? Wow, you know, he's a great, 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 great mathematician, you know. But he confessed. He said, this God comes to me in the middle of the night and shows me. The people were amazed. The guy's in Cambridge. His writings are still in Cambridge till today. After he died, they now found another bunch of his notebooks that they hadn't seen in some of the, you know, colleges in Cambridge. Hidden somewhere. Till now, people are still writing papers on it. Till I'm talking to you now. Mathematical papers. Scientific papers. If Satan can show that to his people, how come the Holy Ghost is not talking to any of us? Can you see that we have a problem? The purpose of this message, I'll take it from next week, you know, is to challenge us. If somebody can confess that the mathematical equations he's writing was shown to him by a God with six hands, and we know that's not the Holy Ghost. What is happening to the church? Is this humility thing? Pride, rebellion, stubbornness has been blocking the life of God, the light of God. And it's not entering our minds to the degree. We have some of it, but not sufficient. We should be so far ahead of the world that the world should be envious of us. I'm going to take it a step further, you know, to completely shatter your mind. We should be so far ahead that even natural Israel should be jealous of us. Which is what the Bible says. You know, all of us, we are always admiring the Israelis. And they're wonderful. God has given them great wisdom. You know, I'm at the moment, I'm reading Benjamin Netanyahu's book, Bibi. He wrote an autobiography, you know, this before he became prime minister again now. I'm so enjoying the book. You know, he went to MIT. He went to MIT, yeah. Jew, but you know, he was born in Jerusalem. But then, you know, his dad was a professor of history at Cornell. So when the boys were young, he took them to America. You know, they did their high school in America. Then they went back to Israel to do military service. Then they came back, you know, and they gave him, he actually got admission to Yale, you know. Then he came back and said, look, I need to go. He said in America, he says his eyes opened for the importance of developing technology in a free market economy. And when he became prime minister, he transformed the economy of Israel from a socialist-based economy to a high-tech economy based on free market. Today, Israel is a technological powerhouse. Primarily through the policies of Netanyahu. He went to see his friends in America because he had a lot of connections and invited them, come to Israel. Microsoft came, Google came, you know, all the top firms, Cisco, all of them now, they have their R&D, that's research and development centers in Israel. And that's where the cutting edge is. There's one particular account, you know, there's a book called Startup Nation. I highly recommend it. Startup Nation is about Israel's technological advancement. There's a story there of a young Israeli boys. They started a small software company. And they were writing all kinds of code. There was a problem that these bigger companies, I don't know if it's Google or Visa. I think it was Visa. You know, they were trying to do security, you know, for credit cards and all of that. But they couldn't write the code properly. They had about 4 or 5 PhDs in Stanford. This is a true story. And they were working on that code. So this young Israeli boy talks to one of the guys, you know, from America and says that, I have these young boys that can do something. The man didn't believe him. He said, anyway, because he owed him a favor, he said, I'll just listen to them, you know, at least so they won't say I didn't listen. So he asked the guy to come. So the young Israeli boy came, you know, to see him. And he said, okay, what's the problem you have? He said, we worked on that. We said, he said, I'll bring it to you next weekend. True story. The man didn't believe. They had 4, 5 PhDs who were in Stanford, the Silicon Valley, who had been working on this thing for years. And they had a guy. The boy said he would do it in over a weekend. The man didn't believe. The weekend was over. The boy knocks on his door and said, it's ready. You know, Americans. He said, oh, okay. He pretend as if, you know. He said, okay, we'll take a look at it. So he now collects it from the boy. He sends it to America to all his team. They said they cannot believe what they are seeing. He has solved all the problems. Even the problems that have not yet come, he has solved the ones that are in front. Young Israeli boys, 25, 20, yes, 25, 26, 20, you know, young boys, 30. That PhDs, these boys don't have a PhD. All they did was they went to in Israel, it's compulsory, everybody goes to the army. When you go for military service for at least 3 or 4 years, then you can decide whether you want a military career or you want to go back to civilian life. But you are still a reservist. If there is war, they can call you up. Netanyahu actually did two tours. He fought during the war. You need to read the book. You know, it was even when he almost died. His senior brother was the one that died in Entebbe. At the Entebbe, you know, 15 minutes at Entebbe. Yoni, that was his senior brother. It was senior brother that died. All of the boys, yeah, there are 3 of them, you know, they're all in the army. So the young Israelis, when they entered the army, they put them into different units. Intelligence, you know, software, and all of that. So they learn a lot of things practically, you know. They probably have a BSc or an MSc, you know. But they are used to solving problems and thinking out of the box. So what happened was that these boys, that was where they got their training and their exposure. They had been, they had been, you know, breaking code and blocking blocking signals from the Palestinians and all of that to be able to, you know, find terrorists and, you know, block them from entering the, from being able to access the code that the Israeli army was using. That was where they got their experience. So they now brought it to the financial world and used it for Visa. The Americans, they could not believe it. You know what they did? They bought the company. Because they said, if this thing gets to our competitors, we are finished. So they offered the boys, I think they first offered them something like $50 million. The boys said, we know what we are worth. So $50 million is too small. And then at the end of the day, they bought it, but I can't remember the exact figure. Maybe about $500 million. And they said, okay, you are now part of our company. You guys will now head the research development. Give a lot of clap offering, somebody. That is the wisdom that God gave. Are you listening to me? Now let's read to Solomon. I got to finish. I can't finish it today. He says, and God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding very little. I didn't hear you. And largeness of heart. That's not generosity. He's talking about mental capacity and sagacity. He's not talking about, largeness of heart being, generous. You know, he's talking about, memory capacity. It was God who gave him all. Even as a sand that is on the seashore, incidentally, silicon, which we make computers, made from sand. That's even in there. Can you imagine? From way back. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt, showing to principalities and powers. You see, God gave Solomon a wisdom that was superior to the wisdom Satan had given the guys in Egypt and all the guys in the Far East and all these things I spoke about earlier on. Hello, somebody. For he was wiser than all men. Oh, my God. I didn't hear you. Than Ethan, the Ezrahite. We don't know who that was. In that time, he must have been a very wise man. And Heman, and Chalcol, and Dada, the sons of Mahol. And his fame was in all nations round about. What God did in a small measure through Solomon is what he wants to do in this end time. And what he will do. And he's looking for willing vessels that he will show unto principalities and powers the manifold wisdom of God. The wisdom Solomon had excelled the wisdom of the top guys in his time. Now, Christians should be the top Nobel laureates. Medicine, mathematics, science, physics, everywhere. Chemistry. There's something wrong with us. I'm going to close. I have to close now. I'm going to close with a scripture. It's in Daniel. Everybody repeat what I said before. Everybody say humility, grace, life, light, and wisdom. Daniel chapter 5 verse 14. We're going to close with that. Then next week, I will go further as how we are going to tap into this thing. God gave this to me 1980. That's 43 years ago. I've been running after this thing all this time. I know that Christianity is more than just coming to church and sing choruses. I'll just, heal the sick. That's all important in its place. But for the church to create wealth, he said, I will make you head and not tail. Above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to will be successful. All, listen to this. These are serious scriptures. He said that all the nations of the world will see that you are called by the name of the Lord and they will be afraid of you. Who is afraid of you today? The word afraid there is not afraid like terrorist. It means reverence. Oh, ah! Daniel chapter 5. Oh, I'm so excited. You know, this is one of my favorite topics. I'm taking my time. Now, this, the Daniel, when Belteshazzar brought out the vessels of wine. Anyway, but I just want to focus on this. Talking about Daniel, it says, I have heard even of thee that the spirit of the gods. See, back in Babylon in those days, they didn't know the true God. So anybody who was, they used to call them magicians and things like that. So they heard about this Daniel that is different. That the spirit of the gods is in thee. Listen to these words. And that light. Everyone say light. Understanding. And excellent, not ordinary wisdom. Oh, excellent wisdom is found in thee. Stand to your feet. I'm going to blow your mind. This scripture must come to pass. And you must make up your mind. You are going to be one of the people that will fulfill it. Behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Christ in you, the hope of glory. If God gave Solomon a wisdom that was greater than the wisdom of all the people of the East in his time, what will he do for a greater than Solomon? Who is living in a better testament, established upon better promises? If in the Old Testament, and Solomon backslid, if in the Old Testament, God could do that through Solomon, what will he do through you and I? For those of you who are old, I'm in my 60s, my wife and I, and some of us are in our 60s now. Don't ever dream of retiring. I'm saying it. Our greatest years are ahead of us. Amen. Those of us that have spent our youth seeking God, praying, life of God, you are the recipients of this wisdom that's going to come. That will marvel, it will marvel the world. Africa used to be called the dark continent. It's going to be called the continent of light. And Nigeria is the epicenter. Oh, shall I break it to friends? They haven't seen anything yet. All the way I see now with Yahoo boys is just the periphery. Because of the light in the air, there's a wisdom that's coming that's helping them to do things, and that's why you find Nigerians excelling everywhere. But that's not the real deal. Those ones that they're just getting the thing on the surface. The original is inside here. That to the intent that now, not when we get to heaven, that now, unto principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Don't ever think of retiring. Go and pick up your books. Whatever field you are in, I'm serious. Praying tongues. Until your whole head is shining with light. You're not doing it now for money. God has blessed you. You have wife, you have children. You are not doing it for that. You're not doing it for promotion. You're not doing it to become a professor. All that is small fry. You're doing it to demonstrate the manifold wisdom of God. To the glory of God. Amen. And the blessing of humanity. Oh, there are all kinds of problems that are going to be solved by us. Yes, cancer, all of you. You're going to see. And the kind of money we will make will not have been seen. We've been talking about billionaire. We're not talking about trillion, one or two people. You know, we're now hitting the level of trillion. There's going to be trillion. There's going to be quadzillion. Amen. Trillion is 10 to power 12. You know, when you get to 10 to power 15 and 10 to power 20, what name are you going to call it? That kind of money, you can never finish spending it. And we will preach the gospel to every nation. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't miss next week. Let's talk to God. Just talk to God. Just say, God, help me. You say to your heart, we're going to pray general prayer together, to be a partaker of this wisdom. Christ is not only made unto me the power of God, he's also made unto me the wisdom of God. Why should I only take the power and not take the wisdom? The church has only preached the power. How many times have you heard anybody preach about the wisdom of God? When I'm with them, I only talk about wisdom in terms of the, you know, the scriptures. That's a baseline wisdom. But there's great wisdom. He said, I will bring to naught the understanding of the wisdom. In other words, in the light of the wisdom we're going to have, their wisdom will become nothing. When I was a kid, we used to use log table. You know, in secondary school, to do calculations. In the light of a personal computer and this phone, log table is nothing. That's what he's talking about. It becomes insignificant. With that kind of technology and that kind of knowledge, you know, I was telling my kids the other day, you know, we are my generation, we who were born in the 1950s and some of us in the early 60s, were one of the most privileged generations that have lived on the earth. We lived in the time of the evolution of technology. I, Olubi Johnson, I speak to you by the grace and the mercy of God. I used everything. I've used log tables. I used slide rule. I used electronic calculator. I used programmable calculator. Then I moved on to desktop computers. Then I moved to laptops. Now I'm also using, you know, parallel computers. I've seen everything. And as I can appreciate, many of kids, you just take it for granted. And we haven't yet started. What will be done in the next 10, 15 years will astound the world. We're already seeing it in ChatGPT and all of that. You have cars that will be driving themselves. Planes that will be driving themselves. They will create their own lanes, no accidents. It will be totally error-free. Let's go home. It's time to go home. Talk to God, everybody. Talk to God. Oh, hallelujah! Just talk to God. Say, God, you know, Solomon prayed. Say, God, give me wisdom. You pray that same prayer. Daniel said, they sought the mercies of the God of heaven. And God showed it to them in the night season. Just ask God. Let's pray together. Say, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Father, I repent where I have not taken heed into tapping into the wisdom of God and the ability of the mind of Christ. I repent. I receive mercy for your blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, your life and your power in sufficient measure as we pray now. Heavenly Father, I come to you with a humble heart, for I recognize that humility and the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Oh Lord, give me greater light, measures of grace, of life, of light, and of wisdom, that I will access the ability of the mind of Christ and show forth now unto principalities and powers the manifold wisdom of God to bring you glory and to bring great blessing to humanity. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the spirit. Father, thank you. Lord Jesus, Lord Holy Spirit, thank you. We thank you for your blood, your life, for your power, Nagara Stofre. Lord, Rambragaga, in and upon our wills, La Pritushka, our minds, La Pritufreshe, our emotions, La Pritulomas, our physical bodies, Lipritufreshe, our regional heavenlies, Reynosto, our circumstances, La Pritulomatufreshe, our regional heavenlies, Lipritufreshe, insufficient measure, Renesca, in this regard, Nepritulomatufresh, in Jesus' name. If you need healing, and sometimes, you know, there's a problem in the brain, you know, just touch your body, raise your hand. Father, we release your healing virtue into every physical body. As hands are raised, or hands are stretched from home Lord God, in faith, we release that healing power. Say, be thou made whole. We command total recovery and healing in Jesus' name. We come against the spirit of infirmity, spirit of fear, of doubt, of oppression, of depression. We cast you out. Amen. Destroy your works. Resist and bind you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Dearly beloved, believest thou this? Believest thou this? Believest thou this? Believest thou this? See, it's interesting that this week, just a week, there was a memorial of the Tulsa Massacre. Tulsa Massacre, where the black people were killed. The richest of the richest. Yes. And we celebrated 100 years ago. But there was a memorial of it again, where two Americans who belonged to that were given Ghanaian citizenship. Now I want to tell you something, dearly beloved. Every blessed morning, in Good Morning Jesus, we pray about this thing. I want us to pray about our generation. See, there's a generation that is flowing from us. And you see, we might not be able to run all that, but they will take it there. Break a company. They're called, in Micah, break a company. Eaglets fly. And so you see, when I say, come, let's pray, declare over our generation, some people will start dropping off, and I'm like, they don't understand. This is the reason why we were born, to shape this generation. Imagine if there was no Simeon and if there was no Anna, who had soaked years of intercession and prayer.
Absolutely.
For the Master, the Lord Jesus. So before he even knew what he could do, they were there praying. So they had aligned his future to be aligned with the will of God. So when he was in Gethsemane, he already won. Because the war had been won by Papa Simeon and Mama Anna of old. Dearly beloved, and the prayer that starts it is, let's pray for our generation. And I'm going to pray that prayer today. And you pray for your generation as well. By the mercy and the grace of God, pray over our generation. So we declare a divine shifting. Amen. Over our generation. Amen. Breaking of every yoke. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Racial stereotyping, racial profiling, inhibition, envy, we break over our generation in the name of Jesus. Amen. In all region, in all color, in all age. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we declare, in the name of Jesus, as one under authority, washed by the blood of the Lamb, in the name of Jesus, as in a handmaiden of the Lord, under the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ, the shepherd and the bishop of our souls, and the covering of the said fathers, we want to decree in the heavens and the earth and under the earth that our own vineyard we will not keep. In the name of Jesus. And Father, we pray that in the name of Jesus, we break every confinement to successes only, to sports, entertainment, and fashion. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, this thing is in my spirit. It's in my spirit. You think I'm reading paper? It's in my spirit. We are wealth creators. Amen. Solution providers. Amen. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. The last that is becoming first.
Yes.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Masotorobosote. Captains of industries. And the financial world. We decreed over us and our generation and our generation yet to come, in the name of Jesus. So we release upon our generation and upon us the mantles of Joseph. Amen. Of Daniel. Amen. Of Esther. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Of Paul. John. Amen. In the name name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the fool, Daniel, and the fullness of Christ in the exalted name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Amen and amen. We decree the heavens in the name of Jesus. We decree on earth in the name of Jesus. And we decree Satan the gates of hell. So let it be in the mighty name of Jesus. Because a greater than Solomon is here. The greater one lies in us. Hallelujah! 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 Claim it, beloved. It's our portion. When men say there's a casting down, no more in Africa. When says their portion is darkness, not Africa. Our portion is lifted. Our portion is light. See, when they came with their COVID, Papa pushed their COVID out for them. It's not our portion in Nigeria. In the name of Jesus, our portion is light. Giant of Africa, you will arise. In the name of Jesus, and take your destiny. You take your prophetic destiny. And we will follow the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our compass and northern star to fulfilling all of our prophetic destinies. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Because it is written, men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the God. And so Lord, we declare that us in our generation will be sustained in the name of Jesus and live by the word of God that proceeds out of the mouth of God to the praise of God's glory. So let it be, because the time is now. The sons of Issachar understood the times and seasons and what Israel ought to do. And by his grace, the Lord has given us the capacity and the capability to do it. That's why let go, let go, let go. Let go, let go! Let go of forgiveness, pride. See, Lord told me this thing, Pastor. He said, tell every day. He said, spray it. The pride, stubbornness, hypocrisy, and forgiveness will not take our blessings from us like John the Baptist. Let go! And let God begin to reign. Hallelujah. The set time to favor Zion has come. And we are the Zion of the Most High God, and that generation after us, to the praise of God's glory. The blessings is unto the third and fourth generation. I will share it, Pastor Jessely. We were sharing it this morning, 1 hour before. I just didn't know why I was telling him. I said, son, I said, if you realize the power that is in the hands of us as Christians, nothing will attract you. No. If you know that you have the power to commit to eternity hell and to commit to eternity heaven, by choice, that is in name. Break the power of death over someone. Break the power of hell over someone. And the person comes converted from hell to heaven. From death into life. From darkness into light. Hallelujah! I said to him, did you not know what the Bible says? He says, there's such great rejoicing in the heaven over one soul. And he that winneth, he that winneth what? Twice. I said, son, if you realize these things, nothing in this world will attract you again. Because you will know that the greater one lies in us. Hallelujah. Glory be to God.
Mommy's on a roll. I just add one thing, and we dig this thing. See, when they were going to the promised land, you had two companies of people. You had the younger generation that are 20 years old and under. Then you had the older generation. Sadly, most of the older generation didn't make it. But you don't have to be part of that. You can choose to be a part of the Caleb company. The younger generation need the wisdom and the leadership of the Caleb to take them in. The younger generation could not enter without Joshua and Caleb. So, our children are going to do their bit, and we're going to do ours. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the ladder of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You're at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live, you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life will God satisfy and show you his salvation, even the perfection of the fullness of Christ. So the Lord impart on you the anointings of Enoch, Abraham, of Joseph, Moses, of Joshua, of Ruth, of David, of Elisha, of Daniel, of Esther, of Paul, and of John. In Jesus' name, the great grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, turn to your neighbor and say, you have the ability of the mind of Christ, the humility of the mind of Christ, and the ability of the mind of Christ, and you demonstrate the wisdom of God unto principalities and powers. In Jesus' name, amen.